Testing.
Hello. I guess it's working. You know, the fear is that it won't work, but it's working. Praise God. Well, I wanted to bring an exhortation this morning on filling our lives with praise. Filling our lives with praise. We understand from Scripture that we are called to live for the praise of His glory. Amen. We're called to live for the praise of His glory, and in Psalm 4, heard me recite these verses before. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us rejoice together. We sing a song, let our praise to you be as incense, let our praise to you be as pillars of your throne. One time I made a list of the ways that we're exhorted to praise the Lord in Psalms, from the book of Psalms. And I'd like to just go through those with you. I mean, the primary reason we worship the Lord is because He's God. It's very simple. We adore Him, we glorify Him, we honor Him because He's God. And we want. So from the Psalms, we see the word exalt. We exalt the Lord, and that means to lift up in honor, to elevate Him in rank. We did that this morning as we worshiped the Lord, didn't we? We can exalt in the Lord, which means to express joy, triumphant joy in Him, that He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. We can extol the Lord, and that is to give high praise to Him. We can boast in the Lord, to speak with excessive pride. How many of you love to speak with excessive pride about the Lord? Hallelujah. To enlarge, magnify is another word, and that means to enlarge in size, to intensify the view. So as we worship together, we are hopefully intensifying the view of God. We are magnifying Him. Another word is ascribe, to assign value, quality, attributes. We can declare the goodness of the Lord, to emphatically make Him known. We can tell, we can narrate a story of God's goodness. We can praise the Lord, which is an act of expressing approval or admiration or commendation. We can bless the Lord, which means to affirm our favor and approval of God. So our primary purpose in worshiping the Lord is just to lift up His name, to honor Him, to exalt Him, because He is God. But this morning, I want to focus our attention on some hidden or unconscious benefits of praising God. I'm going to use the term secondary gains. This is a term that I first heard as a counselor from the field of psychology, and it's used kind of in a somewhat negative way. Here's the idea. Let's say you have a depressed client, and you're doing all you can to help them lift their depression through medication and talk therapy. And let's say you're pretty successful and this person begins to get better, but then they hit a roadblock because of some other benefits, negative benefits that they're getting from being depressed. For example, perhaps they really like the attention that they get by being depressed. People are coming to them and saying, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, you're down, what can I do for you? Or maybe it's the reality that they can avoid responsibility, you know, a job, having to deal with life on its terms. So this is how it's used in psychology, and the idea is you've got to factor in these secondary gains if you want a person to improve, because they're often unconscious or hidden. The person doesn't know that that's part of their motive, perhaps, to stay down. You guys know me. You know I love to brag on Laura. She doesn't have much room for negative secondary gain in her life. She can be a few days into recovery from shoulder surgery. I'll come home from running errands, and there'll be a broken appliance out on the front porch. Or maybe she's decided to tear down an interior wall to bring more light to the kitchen. And I'll say, honey, you know, the doctor said you're not supposed to lift more than 5 pounds. And she'll say, stop treating me like a baby. You know, she doesn't like anything that like that. Well, I, on the other hand, grew up as the baby of the family. And so I come by this legitimately. I could come running in from my shop and say, baby, I've got a sliver in my finger. It hurts so bad. I better lie down. Call Bill. Call Bill. Get the prayer chain going. Oh, grab your tweezers. Bring me a cold washcloth, please, honey. Rub my feet with some cocoa butter. Oh, baby, I'm feeling dizzy. I can't feel my legs. Do you think I have blood poisoning? Oh, my God, honey, don't let them take my legs. Go get a stick so I can bite down while you remove this sliver. You see, I like the attention. So, yes. I don't think the elders should let me up here right after a missions trip. So, what are the secondary gains of praising God? What are the unconscious benefits? What are the somewhat hidden realities that are taking place when we worship God? I'll be using some illustrations from our recent trip to Kenya. This isn't a Kenya report, but some of the examples from there are really fun. We'll be looking at five different realities or secondary gains that occur when we worship God. So, the first one I want to highlight is that praising God ushers in His presence, and His presence becomes a spiritual lens. A spiritual lens for us personally. For some time now, doing a cleanse has been kind of a fad in our culture, hasn't it? You know, we got to do a cleanse for this and a cleanse for that. Right now, on the radio, there's all kinds of concern for your liver, Bob. You know, a healthy liver is a happy liver, right? And you should at least be taking some pills. Seriously, you got to cleanse that liver, buddy. But when we sing the Word of God, or we play worship music in the car or at home, or we sing praise to God in the shower, the presence of the Lord enters in, and it's like a spring rain washing and cleansing our spirits and souls. I say it cleanses us, and we emerge as from a shower, fresh and clean and radiant. How many of you have experienced that, where you're worshiping the Lord, and it's just like a spring rain over your spirit and your soul? Amen. Well, recently in Kenya, this last trip, there's something about Kenya and hot showers. In 2022, when Laura and I took all our kids and grandkids, the showers were okay, but we lost all our luggage. And so Laura and I didn't have a change of clothes for something like 10 days. So we washed by hand, and we bought some eventually. But this time it was the electricity where we were staying. Jody's laughing at this. Would come on and off. We had fans on our walls. And so that's how we knew if the electricity was on or off, if the lights were turned off. And most of the time, the bulbs were out, and, you know, it was just craziness. So we'd, I don't know about Jody, but Laura and I would kind of wait for that fan to come on to indicate that we might be able to get a shower. And so one night, in the middle of the night, the fan came on, and I jumped out of bed to get a shower, because over there they have a light switch on the wall which turns on a heating element that's on the shower head itself. And so, I would get ready and I would turn on the water, and then I'd turn on the heating element, and then the electricity would go out. So I'd get dressed, get back into bed. That happened 4 times that night. But what I really want to tell you about is when I first went to Kenya with Gordon. We went to this retreat center. We were going to teach on leadership and marriage. And they said, the place is kind of empty right now. Just go pick out a room. So Gordon went and got a room, and I looked at different rooms. And I found this one that had a beautiful view and a breeze. And I was just kind of like, oh, I've got the best room. This is so great. And then the next morning when I got up, we were going to both be teaching half a day. I went in to take a shower, and there was no shower head. I hadn't noticed that. There was just a bathtub and kind of somewhat of a stream would come out of the faucet. And so here I am trying to scrunch down into some kind of pretzel or lotus position and flip water up on my head. And of course, it wasn't very successful, so I go to the meeting, and here's Gordon. He's just radiant. Obviously, he'd had a 20-minute hot shower. He just looked really good, and he invited me to use his shower in the future. But that's kind of a metaphor, I think. When we're not praising God, we're like me trying to get under that faucet. You guys are wondering, like, what in the heck does that story have to do with anything? But that's a metaphor. So the first hidden gain of praising God is that when we praise God, we usher in His presence, and His presence is like a spiritual cleansing. Hallelujah. Let's go to the second one. Second one is about praising God together. When we praise God together here on Sunday mornings, we're not here just for ourselves. We're so individualistic in our mindset. Are we even thinking about worshiping God as a community like they do in Kenya? Let's look at some scriptures together. And I want you to notice these scriptures how David is praying that he can pay his vows in the great congregation in a way that impacts others in that congregation. He says, I will give thanks to you in the great assembly, in the mighty throng, I will praise you. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. Praise God in the great congregation. Praise the Lord in the assembly of Israel. And then the last one, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the church, I will sing praise to you. Embedded in these scriptures is the notion that we have a responsibility to God to build up the holy faith of others. And part of that is how we worship. I was taught in seminary that we affect at least a dozen people around us by how we worship the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about we raise our hands or do we dance. It's not those outward things I'm talking about. I'm talking about the authenticity and the concentration and the engagement that we enter into worshiping the Lord versus detachment or disengagement or apathy. I don't know about Jason, but as one of your worship leaders, I love those times where I see you all intensely worshiping God. And it's no longer individuals praising God, but I sense that it's us as a body worshiping God. And when we praise God together with our family of faith, we usher in God's power. I believe we enter a spiritual dimension where there's a special power at that time. You may remember that when Solomon dedicated the temple and they sang and they worshiped, eventually they fell on their faces. They couldn't stand up because of the presence and the power of the Lord. One time I had the privilege of attending Paul Youngi Cho's church in Seoul, South Korea. Have any of you been there, just out of curiosity? A couple of people. I went to a Friday night, all-night prayer meeting. And I remember we got there kind of late. We were way in the back. We were kind of up high. And thousands of people are there praying silently. And then at some point, the leader of the meeting said, "Okay, now let's start praying and praising God out loud." And you guys, it was like a rocket took off. I mean, it just was so powerful, not just to the ear, but to the spirit. It was like a rocket took off. I want to show you an example of the Kenyan women where we go praying together in a powerful and unusual way. Scriptures prophetically tell us that the gates, New Jerusalem, will be called praise. And in Psalm 24, we read, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. So I take that to mean that as we lift up praise together as a body, we are ushering in the presence and the power of God. Praising God together ushers in His power, the power of the living God. And this brings us to another secondary gain of praise. Praising God is also, can be, a catalyst for deliverance. And I want to show you some spots in Scripture. You remember Paul and Silas in Acts 16? They have been beaten and thrown into a Philippian jail. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer had been roused out of sleep and had seen the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into the house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. A moment ago I said that Isaiah 68 talks about the New Jerusalem, your gates shall be called praise and your walls will be called salvation. Here we see both praise and salvation. I want you to remember another story, the story of King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. A huge army is amassed against him. He's a righteous king. He was the fourth king of the southern kingdom of Judah. He had enacted all kinds of religious forms. The Lord was with him. And so here this mighty army comes against him. Moab and Ammon and the inhabitants of Mount Seir come against him. And Jehoshaphat prays and he says, O God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Then a prophet named Jehaziel says this, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. And then in verse 20, they rose up early in the morning and went out to the wilderness. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army to say, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, the two tribes destroyed one another. And when Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying everywhere on the ground, and no one had escaped. So here's a case of deliverance. Catalyst, if you will, by praise and worship and believing in God. I want you to remember as well, third, the story of Jonah. Can you imagine being in the belly of a great fish and you start to repent and here's Jonah's prayer. He says, while I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to me and went into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to thee with a voice of thanksgiving. So can you imagine Jonah praising God in the belly of a fish? And then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto dry ground. Chuck Ferry used to say, praise breaks bondages. Praise breaks bondages. Isn't that powerful? Psalm 68:20 says, God is to us a God of deliverances, and to God the Lord belongs escapes from death. Yes, praising God can be a catalyst of deliverance. The fourth secondary mention is praising God is a construction zone for building supernatural boldness. Where am I in my slides here? There's Jonah. There's Psalm 68:20. You know, we know that God is working in us the fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to read them to you just in case you're unfamiliar with them. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I want to ask you a question, though, that might be unusual, and that is, do you like these fruits of the Spirit? Some of them, yeah. I realized in preparation for this message that I like most of them, but there's a couple clunkers in there, like patience. I don't want to be patient. I just don't want to. I want to get stuff done, and I want to get it done now. But there's one that's close on the heels, and that one is self-control. These days, I am not liking self-control. I get tired of putting down my anger and my pride. And because I'm, you know, called to be a man of God, I think the discipline is heavier sometimes. And I just want to confess, I still have a wild man inside that wants to break out of his cage. There's a guy in there that wants to make some foolish decisions and get crazy and generally freak out. You know? Anybody else a little bit like that? I don't want to let the carnal man out, but there's still a guy in there that feels caged and wants to get crazy. We sang a song this morning. Jason had no idea what I was preaching on, but he said the lyric of the song was, "There's a lion in my lungs." And I thought, there's confirmation of this message. Because this is the controversial part. You know, are we supposed to have a wild man in there? I don't know. But it seems to me that praising God is a way to let the wild man out in a godly way. In a godly way. I caught the Kenyan children. You know, the Kenyans are, the school children are raised in the British fashion, where there's a lot of group recitation. There's not a lot of individual expression, although that's growing at Sea Power, the ministry we work with. But they are such good dancers, and they will put on performances for us. But I have longed to see them just cut loose. And this trip, I saw them. They were at recess, and I grabbed my camera, and I went down there, and I took this video you're about to see. And I tell you, it took every ounce of discipline I had not to go down there and dance with them. But here's what it looked like. Doesn't that look fun? Wouldn't that be fun just to freak out with them? Before I left on this trip, I said to Hannah, I'm not a good dancer, so would you teach me And she showed me kind of some things that, you know, helped. But she said something that was really valuable. She said that Jason had told her that he wasn't very comfortable dancing either. But the secret, she said, he said, is to go all in, to not hold back, to just dance your heart out. And it made me think of this time Laura and I were on an island in the Caribbean or somewhere at a resort vacation, and there was this nighttime band and party, and there were all these, you know, good-looking people, and, you know, but in the crowd was this Steve Urkel kind of guy. You know who Steve Urkel is? You know, from Family Matters. And he had shorts on, he had suspenders, he had a ball cap, he had the glasses with the tape right here, and he had white socks, you know, that, and he just, you know, he just went for it. And it brought such joy to me to see him just be himself in the midst of all this glamour. He didn't care. He was having a good time. I, on the other hand, was just kind of wrapped up in my insecurities. Like, I can't go out there, you know. But that kind of gets at this idea of letting the wild man out. Do you remember when King David let the wild man out? They were bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, and he stripped down to his underwear, and the scriptures say that he danced before the Lord with all of his might. And do you remember his wife's response? How she was embarrassed? And I can't remember what other insult she hurled at him, but she was embarrassed. But he let his wild man out in praise to the Lord. So praising God is a construction zone of supernatural boldness. I'm not advocating, I'm not saying, you know, I want you to dance. I'm not saying I want you to raise your hands. I'm just saying find your way to praise God, fully engaged, fully concentrated, fully authentic, and don't be afraid to let the wild man out. In college, I'll end with this point with this. In college, there was in my dorm, there was a room down in the basement, and I remember going down there to have quiet time. And I was down there one day, and I felt like the Lord whispered to me, Jim, I want you to dance for me. And, you know, that was pretty odd. I thought, you don't want to see me, you know. But I did it out of obedience, and it became a real joy. You know, no one was watching, so it didn't really matter. And that was my experience, one of my experiences of letting praise free me from my own insecurities. Finally, I want to say that praising God can be an act of defiance. Praising God can be an act of defiance. Praising God is a way of saying to the principalities and powers of this world, even to the devil himself, that I will not be controlled by you. I won't be controlled by pain. I won't be controlled by adversity, by fear or discouragement or disability. I will only be controlled by the living God, and to him alone will I surrender and lift up a sacrifice of praise. At Seed Power, there is a young man named Junior. And he has cerebral palsy, not sure how to pronounce it. I called Linda yesterday to ask her for the backstory on Junior. Junior came to Seed Power several years ago. He was malnourished. He had the distended belly. He did not use his left hand at all. He didn't speak much, and if he did, you couldn't understand him. He He had been rejected by all the schools that his single mother had tried to get him enrolled in. And he couldn't walk without falling, pretty regularly. Well, today, Junior is healthy and he's strong. Not only can he walk, he can run. He speaks three languages clearly. Not a full conversation like we're having, but you can understand him in his tribal language, Swahili and English. He's progressing in his studies. He's using his hand as a helper hand. What am I forgetting, Linda? Anything about his progress? Yes, when he first came, the neighbor kids wouldn't play with him for a couple of reasons, but some had the superstitious fear that whatever he had, their children would catch. Others thought that a demon would transfer from him to them. But in Seed Power, the children love Junior, and they play with him, and the smart ones, when they are done with their studies, they go over and help Junior with his studies. So he's making great progress. So to kind of end this message, I want to show you the kids, as I said before, they will do scripture recitations, they will sing hymns, they will do interpretive dances. But one of the fun things they do at the end of their performances is they do what they call a fashion show. And the kids kind of strut out, and the girls are in these pretty dresses, and the boys tend to do sort of a gangster walk, or I don't know what to call it, a cool kid walk or whatever. And so I'm going to show you a video of two little boys coming out doing their walk. And then the second set of two includes Junior. And I want you to see him walk toward us and then away from us. And at the very end, he makes a gesture that I would really like you to see, okay? And then I'll comment on it. Toke kipo mjuna poshune chumo poke mbeni takuja na chumbi menyongia juzi leo tatoa mushika chori ya ziwa smoki ikucheza kama mimi alafu mpupa tupa cheza kama yewa nuski hivo ndo sicheza mjini cheza kama wewe cheza kama wewe cheza kama wewe we basi cheza kama wewe tuyo cheza kama wewe. To me, that was an act of defiance. It was Junior saying, "Devil, here I am. I'm still here. I'm still here, and I'm going forward, and nobody's stopping me because the Lord is with me." So I just want to end with, let us fill to the brim our lives with praise, because behind our primary purpose of praise, to simply glorify the Lord because he's God, there are several other spiritual realities that are occurring. Just to review, praising God ushers in his presence, and his presence washes us and cleanses us. Praising God together as a family of faith ushers in his power. Praising God is a catalyst of deliverance. Praising God is a construction zone, building supernatural boldness. And praising God can be an act of defiance. Well, I just want to bless each one of you as you strive to glorify the Lord and bring praise to him. Let's together make his praise glorious. Amen. Thank you.